Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, beginning in verse 12 and reading through the end of the chapter. Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 12, this is God's word. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We've talked about the fact that the enemy wants to confuse us. He uses lies to attack us. And we've said that it is important, in fact, vital, to understand the difference between conviction versus condemnation. We need to be able to recognize which one is on our radar, which one is hitting us. Conviction versus condemnation. In that context, we also said that it is vital to understand the difference between real guilt versus false guilt. And today we want to look at the fact that it is vital to understand the difference between temptation and sin. The difference between temptation and sin. Jesus has been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Tragically, there are lots of self-identified evangelicals who don't recognize the fact that Jesus is God. But the last survey I saw showed an even higher percentage of evangelicals who now are saying that they believe Jesus sinned. Really? That's what a lot of people believe. Let me tell you something. The reason he was able to die on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins is because he was sinless. He is the perfect Lamb of God. He never sinned. Never. Okay, why is this so important in connection with the confusion that comes to many people? Because some people will think that if Jesus never sinned, he must not have really been tempted the way I am. Because, boy, I mean, I can't seem to overcome it. I mean, the thoughts just keep coming. They just keep on coming. I want you to think for a minute, if you can come up with a name of any Bible character who, when hungry, was tempted to turn stones into bread, tempted to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, and tempted to bow down and worship Satan. Can you think of anybody? Any names come to mind? Jesus. Jesus was tempted by Satan. We don't get that kind of personal attention generally. You know, I mean, if you think the devil is constantly hounding my steps, actually it's somebody who works for him. Okay? You and I don't get personally attacked by Satan. He cannot, unlike God, he cannot be everywhere at one time. And so if you were getting personal attention from Lucifer himself, wow. Okay, I don't know what he's trying to keep you from, that you are such a threat to his kingdom that he says, I got to zero in on that gal. Okay, it is much more likely. Read Screwtape Letters to get a comical and insightful view of the lowerarchy of the dark kingdom. But those evil spirits do the enemy's work. They are intelligent, they are well organized, and you're not the first person they've worked on. You understand? They've done this generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. They know how humans work. They hear what you say. They see what you do. They hear what other people say to you. They even suggest some of the things that other people say to you. Because Satan works through our thought life. And he wants to plant stuff in us. And that's another reason you need to be careful what kind of entertainment you choose. Because he's planting seeds. He's giving images and sounds. And he's planting stuff in you, hoping to reap a harvest down the road. So, one of the things that helped me understand how this applies was an exchange with a dear friend who called me, and I tell this story from time to time because it's important. This friend, called me and said, I want to kill myself. And I said, tell me what's going on. He said, I'm not any good to anybody. I'm not making a difference. I'm not accomplishing anything that matters. And I don't want to go on. I want to kill myself. And I said, well, you know, I don't believe you do. Because if you wanted to kill yourself, you wouldn't have picked up a phone. Being talked to death by a Baptist preacher is a slow way to go. Okay? If anybody could do it, I'm your man. But you picked up the phone because you don't want to kill yourself. He's an intelligent guy, and he's not crazy. And he said, I think you're right. And I said, but since you're not the one who wants to kill you, who wants you dead? Who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And he said, the devil. I said, exactly. He's the one who wants you to kill yourself. You don't want to do it. You called me because you don't want to kill yourself. You want to live. You want to live and you want to make a difference. You want to impact others in a positive way. The enemy wants to take you out. The enemy knows that you are a child of God, precious in his sight, and so he wants to get at God by getting you to do yourself in. He can't take you out, but if he can get you to take you out, then he wins a little victory. That guy, that was about 28 years ago, and he's still alive and healthy. God has blessed him, and God has blessed many people through him. And God can bless people through you. And the enemy knows it. And so the enemy is going to come after you with lies that say your life doesn't matter. There are temptations that come to all of us, And if the devil can get you to give in to the temptation, it will bring harm to your life and harm to others. But if the devil can't get you to give in to the temptation, then the devil will try and persuade you that you are guilty just for having been tempted. If you were really spiritual, you wouldn't have such thoughts. If you were really a mature Christian, you wouldn't have to deal with this. What is wrong with you that you would have such a thought? I don't just get calls from people who are wrestling with suicidal thoughts, but I want to tell you about another person who called because she was struggling with thoughts of suicide. She had called many, many times to lament her depression and her frustration that she couldn't seem to keep friends. She would have a friend, and then the friendship would fall apart. Year after year. This was a person who was a lovely Christian, involved for decades in full-time Christian ministry. She was not world famous, but she definitely had circles of influence where large numbers of people benefited from her ministry and were tremendously grateful for the way God had gifted her and used her to bless their lives with the Word of God in song. She was a gifted musician, songwriter, I mean, being greatly used. But she had chronic problems in her relationships. She was a single lady in her 40s and not happy about that. But not only had she pretty much given up on the idea of marrying some prince, she had also been brokenhearted that she couldn't seem to have healthy, enduring relationships with females. And she would ask me to pray for her. So my wife and I prayed for her and prayed for her and prayed for her. And God showed me something. God spoke to my heart that the problem with this person that was sabotaging these relationships was that she was dealing with same-sex attraction. This was before same-sex attraction was popular. And it wasn't like, you know, I always wondered if that was it. No, I mean, this was like, Lord, please, she wants my help. Show me what's going on. And the Lord showed me she's battling same-sex attraction. And I was like, oh, well, I'll tell her. And God said, no, you must not tell her. And I'm like, well, what's the use in my knowing? If I can't tell her, I mean, how does that help anything? And God says, pray. Pray for her. So now I'm praying for her, and she's calling me and telling me she's got another friendship that's fallen apart. She really felt close to this person, and then it all just fell apart. Like, can I talk with her about this? And God's saying, no, you just pray for her. You listen to her, pray for her. So I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord for 4 years. 4 years I'm carrying this around. I've talked with my wife about it. We've prayed together for her. And for 4 years, she keeps calling us long distance at a time when there were no cell phones and long distance was very expensive. And finally, she called. And for the first time ever, she'd never said this before, but for the first time ever, she said, I'm just calling you because I need to say goodbye. I'm going to kill myself. And I said, why would you kill yourself? And she said, because I've realized I have no right to be in ministry. I have a horrible sin problem. And I can't go on. I said, what's the sin problem? She said, I can't tell you. And I'm thinking, I already know what it is. But okay. I said, yes, you can. I said, whatever it is, I'm not going to condemn you. I said, Jesus Christ paid for our sins at the cross. And so I have no right to judge anybody else, condemn them. It took her 20 minutes to get it out. It was like pulling teeth. And so finally she said, in that 20 minute, right at the end of that 20 minute thing, she said, it's homosexuality. And I said, okay, let's talk about that. When was the last time that you had sexual relations with a woman? She said, I've never had sexual relations with a woman. I said, oh, really? Well, so what do you mean your sin is homosexuality? And she said, well, sometimes when I'm like with just, you know, a friend, I have these feelings and these thoughts. And I said, what do? She said, I get out of that situation, and if need be, I end that relationship. And I said, okay, all right. So what's the sin? She said, well, the sin is having those thoughts and those feelings. I said, really? And I talked with her about what I just talked with you about concerning Jesus, who was tempted not only to turn stones into bread when hungry, not only to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, but even to bow down and worship Satan. If you think the temptation you're facing is so horrible that you can't talk to anybody about it, you need to go back to the book. And you need to realize that whether they understand it or not, your high priest understands. He knows firsthand what it is to be tempted. And he knows the power of temptation in a way that you and I don't. You and I are tempted by the enemy and we say, okay, I'll do it. And then we want to tell God, the temptation was just irresistible. You don't know what it's like. Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, yet without sin. He went 15 rounds. He did not bow. He did not lose. And let me tell you something. He knocked the devil out. Jesus has overcome. He has won the victory. And so when the devil comes at me through his emissaries, I no longer have to give in. Read the book of Romans and don't take chapter 7 out of context. Because if you take 7 out of context, you're going to come to the conclusion that tons of evangelicals do, that, yeah, well, you know, in this life we're just powerless. You know, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. The good that I would, I don't do that. The evil that I would not do, that's what I end up doing. You know, I mean, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Read the next chapter. Not only is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but those who are in Christ Jesus now have his spirit living in us so that we no longer have to do the stuff that we used to have to do when we were slaves to sin. And that's what chapter 6 is all about too. It turns out 7 describes what happens to us and what we feel and experience when we're walking in the flesh. When we rely on our own power, we are powerless. When we rely on him, we are able to say no to sin. So, Pastor, excuse me for the interruption, but I just wanted to ask, are you suggesting that now, since you've been really born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, which you want us all to know about, that you don't sin anymore? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying when I try and function in my own strength, I fall flat on my face. When I rely on the power of the risen Christ who lives in me, I'm able to say no to temptation. So when I sin, I need to own that. I need to say, God, I am so sorry. I should not have done that. Please forgive me. Change me. Cleanse me. I want to be different. I want to live for you. But what I can't say is, I couldn't help it. I didn't have any choice. I'm a slave to sin. No, you are not. Don't let the devil put that lie on you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are no longer a slave to sin. So don't submit your body to the enemy as if you have no choice.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, and he's holding out his hand. If the devil, and I repeat what I said moments ago, if the devil cannot get you to give in to the temptation, he will try to make you feel guilty for being tempted. He will try to convince you that the reason why you're having these thoughts or these feelings is because you're not really saved or because you are just incapable of walking in the Spirit. Because if you were really Spirit-filled, you wouldn't have such thoughts. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and led into the wilderness where for 40 days and nights he was tempted by the enemy. God understands. We do not have a high priest who can't understand our weaknesses. So what happened to your friend in another state who was calling you long distance? She got set free. I had her go and speak to a couple of people that I knew I could trust and she could trust and share her struggle. And turned out they didn't look down on her either. They didn't reject her or say, "You what?" They were like, "Wow, well, that's got to be hard. Thanks for sharing that. We'll be glad to pray with you anytime you need to talk. I'm available." And she found that when she wasn't trying to hide her feelings and temptations from herself, and she had some other people that she could share her feelings and temptations with, the feelings were not as intense, and the thoughts were not as obsessive. Because, as I've said before, if you're driving toward a sign that says, "Don't read this," a little late. If you try to overcome evil thoughts by blocking them out, good luck with that. Doesn't work. But if you will be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and when the enemy comes and hits you with lies and hits you with stuff that is bad, don't fall for it. Don't give in to it. You don't have to. That false guilt that comes from thinking you're guilty over temptation will push you toward condemnation. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stand on the Word of God. It's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Use God's Word to stand against the lies of the enemy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.